The news is really frightening these days, isn't it? We have borne witness to the invasion of the Russian troops into the sovereign country of Ukraine. We are slowly coming through a pandemic that has killed over 900,000 Americans and over 6 million around the world, and it is still taking lives. There are the confrontations at school board meetings over masks and curriculum. And then there is the news that some state legislatures are making it harder for some American citizens to vote. How can they live with themselves? Where's the good news? Well, I'll give you some. There are many positive and inspiring things happening. For example, just a few weeks ago, the black speed skater Aaron Jackson slipped on the ice during the 500-meter race at the U.S. Olympic trials, and she was knocked out of the competition. She thought her chance to compete at the Winter Olympics was over, but then something really amazing happened. Her friend and fellow speed skater, Brittany Bau, gave Aaron her qualifying spot. And Aaron was now back on the team. And Brittany was already on the team, competing in some other areas. And Aaron went to Beijing, competed in the Olympics, and won the gold medal in the 500-meter speed race. Brittany, who sacrificed her place on the team, exhibited not only what I think is an amazing friendship and sportsmanship, she also demonstrated servanthood. Or how about the story of 12-year-old Alan Boltz, who lives in Jonesboro, Arkansas? I just heard this story, I don't know, in the last 10 days or so. After getting a mullet haircut, which is, as I understand, where the sides of the head are shaved and the back of the hair, the hair is allowed to grow. I've been thinking about doing that one myself. Well, Alan found out that there is a national contest, a national mullet haircut contest, and he entered. And among all the hundreds of kids that entered, he won. He won $2,500. A 12-year-old kid winning $2,500. Now get this. Instead of keeping the money, going out and buying a moped or whatever, he donated it to a foster care organization because he had spent the early part of his life in foster care. Isn't that an example? Isn't that the towel in the basin? The servanthood. And then, who can't be impressed with the response of thousands of people in Poland who are assisting the hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians who are fleeing for their lives, offering them transportation and shelter and food and clothing and even jobs. May God bless the Poles and all of those who are helping the victims of this illegal and ghastly war on the Ukrainians. Isn't it amazing that kindness and serving others still gets the attention of the world? One of the great thrills of my life has been to worship at Westminster Abbey in London, the 900-year-old church where virtually every king or queen have been coronated. If my memory serves me correctly, over 2,000 famous people are buried within the walls of Westminster Abbey, including kings, queens, prime ministers, bishops, artists, poets, authors, scientists, and composers like George Frederick Handel, who composed The Messiah. He's buried there. David Livingstone, the famous missionary, explorer, and abolitionist, is also entombed there. As a young medical student, Livingstone heard of the incredible needs of the continent of Africa and was convinced that he should go and dedicate his medical talents and his anti-slavery views to the people in Africa. And when people asked David Livingstone, "Well, why are you going?" he replied, "Well, God had only one son, and he was a missionary and a physician." Late in Livingstone's life, when an honorary degree was being conferred on him at Glasgow University in Scotland, it is said that he stood with one arm sort of hanging lifeless from an injury that he had received when he was attacked by a lion. His face was worn and weathered from the hot sun. The students at Glasgow University, who were known to ridicule and mock previous recipients of honorary degrees, stood in silent admiration as they watched him receive his accolade. In his acceptance speech, David Livingstone said in part, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own best reward in healthy activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with such a thought. It was emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege." David Livingstone revealed a paradox, and that is, when one picks up the towel and basin, one's life takes on a life-changing dimension. One feels good. One is invigorated. One is fulfilled. How ironic. The mother of two of Jesus' disciples once put Jesus on the spot by asking if her sons could sit by his side in heaven. When the other disciples heard this, they were really ticked off. And so Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the world have power over them, and the leaders have complete authority. This, however, is not the way it should be among you. If one of you wants to be great, he must be the servant of the rest." I noticed that Matt Painter usually goes to the water when it's sort of a tense moment in the game. You know, Jesus demonstrated that idea of service when he picked up the basin and towel and washed his disciples' feet. Jesus taught us one of the great paradoxes of life, that we find meaning when we serve others and when we serve him. Now, those of you who were around here at Memorial Church 3 years ago may remember that I shared with you in a sermon the time that I heard Mother Teresa of Calcutta speak in Fort Wayne. And you may recall that I said that I would never forget her saying, "Let me tell you what I have been doing for Jesus." She didn't say, "Let me tell you what I believe about Jesus or what the Lord has done for me." It was, "Let me tell you what I have been doing for Jesus." And then, in the next 30 minutes or so, maybe 40 minutes, she told the crowd in that auditorium some stories of how she had helped orphans and widows and sick people and poor people and dying people. She did great things for Jesus. But there are little things that can be done too. I love what the great medical doctor Albert Schweitzer once said. And I quote, "Always keep your eyes open for the little task, because it is the little task that is important to Jesus Christ. The future of the kingdom of God does not depend on the enthusiasm of this or that powerful person. Those great ones are necessary too. But it is equally necessary to have a great number of ordinary people who will do something in the service of Christ. The great flowing rivers represent only a small part of all the water that is necessary to nourish and sustain the earth. Beside the flowing river, there is the water in the earth, the subterranean water. And there are the little streams which continually enter the river and feed it and prevent it from sinking into the earth. Without these waters, the silent hidden subterranean waters and the trickling streams, the great river could no longer flow. Thus it is with the ordinary tasks to be fulfilled by us all." It's one of life's great paradoxes that we're happy and feel satisfied when we serve others. I don't know why that's true, but it is. I would like to close this sermon with a lovely poem from a wonderful children's musical. And as I recite it, I would invite you to bow your head and claim this as your prayer too. Let us pray. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for all the things you've done for me? Is there anything I can do? I'm willing to be used, dear Lord, whatever the price may be. So if there's anything I can do for you, just make it known to me. Is there anything I can be for you? Is there anything I can be? For all the things you've been to me, is there anything I can be? I'm willing to be used, dear Lord, whatever the price may be. So if there's anything I can be for you, just make it known to me. Is there anywhere I can go for you? Is there anywhere I can go for the places you have been for me? Is there anywhere I can go? I'm willing to go anywhere, dear Lord, where'er the steps may lead. So if there's anywhere I can go for you, just make it known to me. Amen.